This is Everyday Faith with your host, Jeff Gaffney, here on News Talk 107.5 FM and 1260 AM WCHB.
Welcome to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host for the next 30 minutes as we have a conversation about faith. And we're going to attempt to answer some questions about faith. How can we increase our faith every day? How can we live out our lives in a manner that is both pleasing to God and remain secure in His promises? On this show, we will interview people of faith who are willing to share their faith journey. And we'll also talk about some of the great promises of God found in His Word. You can check out some of our previous interviews on the WCHV.com website. Just click on the podcast section and scroll down to Everyday Faith. We also have now an app available through iTunes so that you can download all of the podcasts. Last week, we had Anthony Gill on the program, Anthony Gill from the UVA men's basketball team. He shared just a great testimony and the amazing things that God is doing down at the University of Virginia. So if you have a moment, check that out. We also had my good friend Pete Bulette from Chi Alpha Christian Services down at the University of Virginia. 2 weeks ago, we had Pete Bulette on, and that was just amazing interview as well. So if you get a chance, check those out. And lastly, we have an email address. It's everydayfaithradio@gmail.com. And we appreciate your comments and your encouragements, and we welcome your prayer requests as well. This week's victory verses, we like to share some Bible verses before we get to our interview, and we have five of them today. I'm going to get right to it. The first verse is Isaiah chapter 30, verses 20 and 21. Although the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, your teachers will be hidden no more. With your own eyes, you will see them. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, "This is the way, walk in it." Second verse from Psalm chapter 23, verse number 5, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup runs over." The third verse is Romans chapter 5, verse 5. "Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us." The fourth verse, one of my favorites, Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. "I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me." And our last verse today about humility comes from Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interest of others." This is Everyday Faith Radio. Thank you so much for joining us this Sunday. We're going to be right back with an interview with Covenant's favorite teacher, John Colmes. We'll be right back. Please stay with us.
Here's what's happening in Central Virginia, sponsored by Virginia Blood Services. Mason's Toy Box annual toy drive is underway. You're asked to donate a new unwrapped toy at one of numerous businesses around the area. Toys will be delivered to children in local hospitals. The Literacy Council of Madison invites you to a holiday concert on December 13th at 7 p.m. at Beth Carr Baptist Church in Madison. And the Charlottesville Municipal Band's 92nd Holiday Concert will be on Sunday, December 14th at 3:30 in the afternoon at the Martin Luther King Center at Charlottesville High School. Admission is free, but you are asked to bring a canned good to donate to the Emergency Food Bank. If your charity or nonprofit organization has an event coming up, tell us about it. Email your information at least 4 weeks in advance to psa@sevillestations.com. For more information about these and other events, go to our Concerts Events calendar at WCHV.com.
This is Everyday Faith with your host, Jeff Gaffney, here on News Talk 107.5 FM and 1260 AM WCHV.
And welcome back to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host, and with us on the program today, we have John Colmes. John is the Bible teacher over at the Covenant School. And John, thank you so much for joining us today.
Great to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
You are everybody's favorite teacher over there. In particular, three of the four Gaffney kids are at Covenant Upper School, and they sing your praises. They love what you're doing over there, and you've had an amazing impact on a lot of people.
Well, thank you. Appreciate that.
How long have you been at the Covenant School?
This is year 27.
Wow.
So I'm an antique.
Oh, the good stuff.
Yeah.
Well, we like to start with the faith journey. Okay. If you wouldn't mind, take us back and take us through kind of your faith journey.
All right, Jeff. I grew up in a wonderful home, a very supportive home. Church was a regular part of our lives, Advent season and family devotions and prayer at supper time. But there was really nothing in that that struck a chord deep in me, and I really never understood what it would be like to have a relationship with Christ. But it was always there before me, and I feel like my family would have been characterized as a cultural Christian family. I mean, we did all the right things, went to church, but it just really didn't have a whole lot of meaning beyond just going through the rituals. And I, in high school, was pretty fond of myself and thought pretty highly of myself, and went to college thinking that, you know, I am God's gift to this university, mm-hmm. and I'm going to light this place on fire, and I'm going to excel as an athlete. I'm going to excel as a student. I'm going to excel as just a studly man. And I was a bit of a radical, a bit of a rebel, and I went to a very conservative school with hair on my shoulders and sandals on my feet, and saw khaki pants and Oxford shirts, and kind of wondered what in the world had I gotten into here. This was in Lexington, Virginia, Washington and Lee. And started to go through the motions as a freshman and kind of wondered. I was a runner in high school and a tennis player, and I thought, my goodness, these coaches certainly looked at the resumes and saw what I'd done in high school, and why aren't they knocking on my door? Mm-hmm. Why aren't you out here, Colmes, playing tennis or running cross country or track? And none of that happened, and went through the first semester, and grades were okay, and it really kind of all hit me my sophomore year, when I was expecting to go home with three B's and a C, and I went home with three C's and a D. And my dad, who was somewhat of a prominent investment banker in the community, probably wore a tie to bed, I almost think. And he came into my bedroom one night, and he said, son, looking at your grades, I'm not sure this college is a good investment and for me. And so I said, whoa, what does that mean? And things in my life in other areas, like thinking I was going to, you know, light the school on fire with my athletic ability or my social abilities, everything was just kind of falling down and crumbling all around me. And so I went back to college and remember very clearly one night in my fraternity house bedroom crying out to God and saying, God, my life is an absolute mess, and I need you to do something. And I had always prayed as a high schooler, though I didn't have a relationship with God. You know, I would say, God, bless my family, help me do well in school, do well in sports, and do well with the ladies. And all of a sudden, I found myself in a situation where the three idols in my life were totally destroyed, and I just felt like I was at the end of the rope. Mm. And the next day, I woke up, And there was just something different about me. I couldn't really put a finger on it. But what had happened is that in my freshman year, there was a guy that lived beside me that was very different than I was. And I just knew that it seemed like he had life under control. He understood who he was. He understood where he was going. And I just observed Jerry's life for a whole year. Next year in my fraternity house, I'm next door to a guy by the name of John Herman, who was a pastor here at Peace Lutheran Church out on 29. John was a fraternity brother of mine, and he lived a life that was very much like Jerry's. And when I felt like my life was coming apart at the seams, I went back to these guys and said, what's working for you guys? What is different about your life and my life? And they basically said, you know, we have a relationship with Christ. We realize that God loves us for who we are and has a plan for our life. And wants to have an intimate relationship with you. And that just was, you know, in my cry to God that night, it all just kind of came together. So Jerry and John both put me under their wings and discipled me through really the next 3 years of college, and totally transformed my life. I went back to my parents. One of the big things I did, which was a big moment, is I cut all my hair because I knew it was troubling to my mom. And they said, John, what has gone on in your life? Mm-hmm. And so I got a chance to explain to them how I feel like God really moved in my life and brought me into a deeper understanding and relationship with him. And it's just been wonderful. And I started working with high school kids at that time, and now I've never stopped. I've been in education for 37 years.
Wow.
But the neat thing about it is that my parents kind of reevaluated their faith and said, we need to change. And so they made a really solid commitment to following Christ. My brother, who was also had gone to Washington Lee before me, and he really got into the party scene, and God just got a hold of him, and he came to me. I remember standing out in a mall area out in Frederick, Maryland, where I'm from, and my brother said, John, help me find Jesus. I need something to change my life. So that began a process that transformed my brother's life, and it was just neat to see how the ripple effect just continued to go out through my family. I had cousins that were coming to Christ, and God was just moving in a big way.
Do you feel like now, you know, looking back on, as I listen to you talk about your faith journey, do you feel like looking back that God had a plan all along for your life?
Sure, but I think I probably deviated in some ways that disappointed him along the way. But, yeah, I think he had a hold on me from the beginning. And, you know, I do believe I was blessed to have very loving parents and a supportive environment for me. And, yeah, I think he was there working and still in small voice sometimes.
I'm a student at times of Ravi Zacharias and some of the apologists and apologetic studies in defending the faith. And one of the lines that comes up frequently as you study some apologetics is that the best form of apologetics is often how you live your life. And when I think about your story that you just shared, I think about the lives of Jerry and John, who you mentioned, because it was the way that they were living their life, and it seemed, you know, in listening to your story, you were aware of a certain peace that they had about themselves, and you were striving and searching and finding yourself kind of disappointed, and you turn around and you go, I want what those guys have. I want that sense of peace. And so as I think about that, does that make sense to you in terms of the apologetic standpoint? Is sometimes it's you don't even really have to say anything. It's again, it's how you live your life that people will be attracted to.
And they really never did say anything to me specifically. They never kind of said, John, you need to get your life together. You need to give up this. You need to give up that. You need to get yourself right before God. They just lived it and were available. And when I started asking the questions, and they started answering them. And so they, you know, their example was what was transforming to me.
What would you say to any of our listeners right now who are sort of on the periphery of faith, have thought about faith a little bit, but that just haven't been able to get their arms around it yet. Is there anything that you, any advice that you would give to any of our listeners who are thinking about, gee, you know, I think I need faith in my life?
I guess something just comes to mind is just kind of let go and let God. I mean, I feel like I was holding on to so many things that I thought were really important.
Mm-hmm.
Like I had to succeed and be this kind of athlete, or I had to always have a girlfriend, or I had to do well academically. And it was all about me performing for other people. And I just think God was saying, no, just let me perform. Let me work in your life and just let go of all that stuff. And your life will be much better.
As I also listened to your story, we had our friend Pete Bulette on the show, who is the director of Chi Alpha Christian Services at the University of Virginia, and he recommended a book, which I since picked it up. It's called Humility by Andrew Murray. And Andrew Murray is kind of one of my favorite theologians to read. And when Pete mentioned this book, I went out and read it, and it got a hold of me. But the reason that I'm bringing that book up now, I want to recommend that to any of our listeners and to you, Mr. Colmus, because I know you like Andrew Murray. But it talks about how humility is oftentimes the pathway to meeting Christ. And it sounds like when you came into college, you kind of had some pride that may have been a stumbling block for you to kind of get to a level of faith in your life. And it was when you learned to kind of embrace and become more humble, you humbled yourself, that it ended up, the fruit of that was that you were able to meet Christ. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to pick up that on that a little bit, and we're going to talk about some of your favorite stories in the Bible. This is Everyday Faith Radio. We're going to take a break and be right back.
Here's what's happening in Central Virginia, sponsored by Virginia Blood Services. Mason's Toy Box annual toy drive is underway. You're asked to donate a new unwrapped toy at one of numerous businesses around the area. Toys will be delivered to children in local hospitals. The Literacy Council of Madison invites you to a holiday concert on December 13th at 7 p.m. at Beth Carr Baptist Church in Madison. And the Charlottesville Municipal Band's 92nd holiday concert will be on Sunday, December 14th at 3:30 in the afternoon at the Martin Luther King Center at Charlottesville High School. Admission is free, but you are asked to bring a canned good to donate to the Emergency Food Bank. If your charity or nonprofit organization has an event coming up, tell us about it. Email your information at least 4 weeks in advance to psa@sevillestations.com. For more information about these and other events, go to our Concerts Events calendar at WCHV.com.
This is Everyday Faith with your host, Jeff Gaffney. Here on News Talk 107.5 FM and 1260 AM WCHV.
And welcome back to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host, and with us on the program today we have John Colmus. John is the Bible teacher at the Covenant School in Charlottesville here. And John, again, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you. Good to be here.
So we are talking, we are finishing up the last section of the show on humility. And I want to kind of now go into maybe a Bible verse that's important to you or something that you've been reading, because I know you love to read God's Word, and you and I have this fun time of always sharing our favorite Bible verses. But what's on your heart these days?
Well, when we talk about humility versus my conceited nature, I was put in a position, I mean, somewhat to my testimony that I shared before in college, but later on in a career, to 2 Corinthians 12, Paul speaks from verse 7 to verse 10. He said, to keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassing great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh. And then he goes on and says, God said to him, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is perfected in weakness. And, you know, that became sort of the verse that stuck with me, and it also goes on to say, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Mm-hmm. And I think as a college student, when I learned that I wasn't as great a person as I thought I was, but that God was much greater, and then I got into the working world and got into a position of authority, which I felt totally inept to be able to do, God just showed up. And he said, that's exactly where I want you, because every day I come into work and say, God, I have no idea how I'm supposed to be running this school. Mm-hmm. And yet there he was, faithful to say, I like you in that position, because when you think you know what you're doing, you usually mess up. So you depend on me in humility, and we'll make a great team together.
Well, and that makes me think a little bit about one of the victory verses that we had today was from Isaiah in the Old Testament. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. And when you take Paul's verse, and when God said, my grace is sufficient for you, and you learn to rely on the Lord, there's an amazing thing that happens to you, and I really think it's an amazing faith opportunity for you when you say, okay, a lot of this is out of my control. Lord, I'm going to hand it over to you. I'm going to hand my worries over to you. I'm still going to walk. I'm still going to do the movement. I'm not going to give up. But I'm going to wait for your instruction, and I know that you will provide. And I know that with your grace, if I can get myself out of the way and I bring your grace into it, and that's where I love the rest of that verse, as you said, when I'm weak, I am strong. God will show up in your weakness and when you're dependent. And sometimes that's hard for us to get our arms around, but there's a beautiful thing that happens when you become dependent on the Lord.
Right.
What else are you reading these days?
Well, in my Bible class, we've just been going through some of the minor prophets, and we have finished with the book of Micah. And in Micah, there are a couple really amazing things going on, but one that's wonderful is that he prophesies the coming of Christ, mm-hmm. which is so timely to Advent season. And then from there in my Bible class, we go into the Gospel of John, which, you know, Micah is sort of putting that all together when he talks about Christ being born in Bethlehem. But one of the things that Micah is dealing with as well is a group of people that just aren't following the Lord, and they're following their own desires and into idolatry and into injustices and stuff like that. And they kind of cry out to Micah and say, well, what's God want us to do? And Micah in 6:8, he says, I want you to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Mm. And so it's been a blessing to be explaining that to 11th graders, to see God wants our hearts to be in the right place. It wasn't about, I mean, they in the chapter before Micah gives them that instruction, they say, well, what's God want us to do? Sacrifice 100 lambs, fill the rivers with oil, and do all these works things. And Micah says, no. He just wants you to be just in how you live among people. Mm. He wants you to be merciful in how you live among people. And he wants you to walk humbly, which we've talked about conceit, with our God. And that's simple. But that, in a sense, if you look at it, you say, you know, that really is the law that Moses gave in the Ten Commandments, how you walk with God and how you live in community. Mm. And then when Jesus has his encounters with a couple people in the New Testament, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to have eternal life? He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. And that's exactly what Micah is mm-hmm. saying. So it's been a delight to be able to explain that to high school kids mm-hmm. who are all, just like I was, all about themselves, all about sports, academics, looking cool, all those things, and to challenge them to say, you know, this is really what God wants you to do.
Mm-hmm. It must be neat from your position, too, as you said, when you were heading off to college, as you said in your words, you were kind of the exact opposite of what Micah was saying in some ways, because you had, you know, you were living the life, living the dream, or so you thought. And so what's neat about your job now is you're able to kind of coach students, high school students, before they enter that next step on their journey into college, and you're able to relate, hey, this is where I was, but let me tell you, this is a much better place to be. And you're able to back it up with the Bible.
It's great.
It's a neat thing that you're doing. Now, what would you tell any of our listeners the difference is in a Christian education compared to going to public school, which there's nothing wrong with that. Our kids have been, I've been, both private, public. But what is the big difference do you see in going to a Christian school?
Well, I think the thing that I love about this, and I have taught in public schools and was part of Albemarle County school systems before I went to Covenant and had great experience there out at Henley Middle School. But I think at Covenant I have an opportunity to put the Word of God and a desire to live for Christ in front of my students every day. Mm-hmm. And it's part of what I'm supposed to be doing. Even at one time at Covenant I taught biology, and it was even a part of that as well to say, look at the complexity of your body, look at the complexity of life, and see the hand of God in all of that, and to realize that that's totally what's supposed to be done at Covenant as we integrate our faith and the beauty of God's work in our lives into everything that we teach. So it's just been, I mean, I enjoyed teaching in the public schools, it was a great experience, but to be able to integrate my faith and what I think the Bible says into the lives of these kids is just a wonderful opportunity.
And then I get to spend a lot of time in the Covenant School, and I'd love to come visit my kids at school whenever they have an event going on. And one of the things that I love is that it seems to be, it's really a house of prayer in there. The students are praying, the faculty's praying, and you can really sense a difference. At least I do. When I walk into that building, it really feels like a house of prayer. And talk to me about the importance of prayer in the classroom.
Well, I mean, it's something that I think as a school and from the administration down that we have been encouraged to, model that out among our students. And for me to think that I can go into my class, again, it goes back to thinking I can do everything on my own. I need to call upon God and say, you know, there's nothing that I have to offer to these kids that's worthwhile unless your Spirit moves in the midst, your Spirit opens up the eyes and hearts of my students and works in me to make this truth come alive to them. And so totally dependent on it. Again, it's not on my own strength, but I need to go to God sort of and bend the knee, as they would say, and ask Him to do the work here. He's the one that can change the lives. I can't.
Are you reading any books outside of the Bible that you would recommend that, kind of like Pete Buellett threw out for me, the Humility book? Is there anything on your mind?
The book I'm reading right now, it's a challenge for me. It's called 25 Books That Every Christian Should Read. And it's a series of excerpts. And the one I'm starting to read now is some bits and pieces written by Pascal, who I don't know a whole lot about. And there are other men that are mentioned that are the names of people from of old that I need to be more educated on. And so I'm kind of working through this book with a couple other guys, and mm-hmm. it's been a challenge, but I recommend you look it up. 25 books every Christian should read.
How about the holidays are coming up? Any big plans for the Colmes family?
Well, I'm blessed in that I have kids living all over the world. I have a daughter in Nicaragua. I have a son in Hawaii with a wife and a grandchild, and another couple up in Illinois with two children, and then a son in the Navy in D.C., and they're all going to ascend on the Colmes household over Christmas. So
I love it. Well, that's what it's all about. John Colmes from the Covenant School, thank you so much for joining us. This is Everyday Faith Radio. Make sure you get a chance to check out the podcasts of our previous shows. I hope everybody has an amazing Sunday today and just a very blessed and thankful Christmas season. We'll see you next week.
Heal our broken hearts. Let your presence overwhelm. Come restore and make us.